The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's time for Rescuers, the show about people who change and save lives. Now, here's your host, Art Brooks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Rescuers Radio Show. Heard every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360 or faithtalk1360.com as well. And please go to our website, rescuersradioshow.org, where you can hear all of the shows on podcast. As this is a listener-supported show as well, if you'd like to participate in that, you'll find directions through our website as well. Real excited with the guest I have is Jamie Heckerman. And did I pronounce that correctly?
You did, yes.
Okay. So Jamie is the president and CEO of Special Olympics Arizona. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You know, this is such a joy because, you know, me, like hundreds of other people, we hear about Special Olympics, but we really don't know much. You're going to fill in all the blanks for us today.
I hope so.
But, you know, I'd like for you, first of all, to share with our audience your background. How was it that you got to this point in your life?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Council Bluffs, Iowa, a very small town, and I have a physical disability. I was born with something called spina bifida. Ooh. And so that restricted the use of my legs. I have very little movement or feeling. And during that time, I became very involved in sports. I played wheelchair basketball specifically and just really fell in love. It was just an outlet that not normally everyone gets to have. And because of that, I went to the University of Arizona. I played wheelchair basketball there. And I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life like everybody else.
Yeah.
But during that time, I thought, you know, I want to get involved with something to do with disabilities. How can I ingrain recreation and disabilities together? Because I've reaped the benefits of it, and I would like to see others be able to do that as well. And I applied for a job thinking I'd be in wheelchair sports, but I wasn't. I was paired with a Special Olympics bowling league.
Yep. Whoa.
And so I was responsible for making sure those athletes got to their lanes if they had to pay for any reason, because it was an off-season league. We collected money. And I just fell in love with the humanity that existed. I mean, yes, I had a disability and had been judged for that before. But our athletes don't see that. And if they do, it's fleeting. It's seconds that they recognize it. And then you're their friend or their family, honestly. And, yeah. And from there, it just grew. I graduated from Arizona State University with a degree in therapeutic recreation. But during that time, I had to volunteer. And so I volunteered with Special Olympics.
Oh, wow. Well, there's the background, and now we're going to jump into what is this? So let's dive into Special Olympics Arizona, and starting with the history and up till now and the mission, and then we'll move forward from there.
Mm-hmm. The Special Olympics was created over 50 years ago by Eunice Kennedy Shriver. And the goal was to provide recreation opportunities for those with intellectual disabilities. The first event was 100 athletes in Chicago, Illinois, and they did track and field. Since that time, it came to Arizona.
50 years ago.
Over 50 now, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's only been in Arizona since 1975.
Okay.
So we're about to hit our 50th year next year. But it It started because a group of people got together and were spreading the word of what Special Olympics is. And literally, it's to provide training and competitive opportunities for individuals with intellectual disabilities.
So I have a question. It started in Chicago.
It did.
Was Unified Sports Inclusion Program the beginning?
No, it was not.
Okay.
It's only been around for maybe 11 or 12 years. And it's one of our biggest pushes. We've seen great success with that program and really an integration of individuals with intellectual disabilities into their communities and schools.
Yeah. So, and there's a great facility here in Phoenix for those that are disabled. Can't think of the name of it right now, but they do all kinds of workouts. They have a swimming pool and that kind of thing. But your vision, it seems like your background in therapeutic recreation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you ever get into that?
It's such a small niche.
But you made it.
I did.
Made it through. And holy cow, I think because of your background, you were must have been an easy transfer over to Special Olympics, right?
I think so. I think it lended more to an understanding of people with some differences.
Seems like your background prepared you for this, though.
I think it was a blessing in disguise for sure.
So, you know, what's the ultimate, if you were to set an ultimate goal and emphasis on athletes, what would that look like? And walk us through the how. We'll get to the athletes in a moment, but just what's the vision of that for you?
There's a potential for over 80,000 individuals in Arizona with an intellectual disability, and those are rough numbers. We don't know what's accurate.
Yeah.
We only serve about 16,000 currently. We're a little bit higher before COVID. But we want to engage as many of our athletes as possible so that they have opportunities to train, meet friends. A lot of our athletes get to travel with our teams.
Yeah.
But it opens up a community or doors for those athletes to feel connected and included.
So when you talk disabled, that's a broad scope, right? Give us a swath of that.
So our athletes are primarily intellectually or cognitively delayed, have challenges there. If there is a physical disability, it's always secondary. Intellectual disability is our primary. So that could be individuals with Down syndrome, autism, maybe cerebral palsy. They're competing with us.
So is that more difficult, same as the mix of it with everyone, or how does that fit?
You know, I wouldn't say it's more challenging. I would say it's just a different challenge that people are dealing with and have to overcome.
Yeah. So you mentioned a number of 16,000 athletes here in the Arizona area. Is that
correct?
The whole state?
That is.
Okay. And you're the CEO of the entire show.
In Arizona, yes.
All of Arizona. So, but you said you're not sure of the number because some people don't come forward, or is there a fear factor? What would keep someone from enjoying this?
Yeah, a lot of our athletes, or what we call them, do receive DDD services, and we try and estimate based on that, but not every athlete receives those services.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard for us to estimate if that number is accurate. They say it's about 1% to 2% of the state population has an intellectual disability. So we could range anywhere from 80,000 up to almost 150,000.
So there's a difference between the physical Special Olympics and what you're explaining right now. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so anybody with a physical disability competes in the Paralympics. And it's all for individuals with physical disabilities. And then like I said, Special Olympics is for those with intellectual or cognitive impairments.
Is that a big number?
I would
of all of the whole pot, is that a big number?
I would say, if I had to guess, those that participated in sports with physical disabilities is less than what we have with intellectual disabilities, but I don't know that to be true.
So you obviously have a staff.
I do.
You don't do everything, right?
That would be impossible.
So in that area of intellectual disabilities, you probably need some very trained coaching, right? Right?
We do. So our staff team is only about 32. That manages the state. And then we rely on about 21,000 volunteers throughout the year to do what we do. And that could be coming day of event to volunteer. It could be a coach that's training our athletes and giving their time. It could be somebody that's helping us run an aspect of our competitions. Yeah. We also have health volunteers that provide free health screenings to our athletes.
Oh, wow. So is it, I don't know how to say this, except is there two disciplines then, right? There's the intellectual disabilities and then the physical. How do you refer to that?
So physical would be more Paralympics, which is not something that we do. And like if somebody has an intellectual disability, the physical disability would be secondary if they do have one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. I have a message for our listening audience. If you came to this program late of Rescuers Radio Show, my guest is Jamie, President Jamie Heckerman.
Yes.
Yeah. President and CEO of Special Olympics Arizona. So this is a big audience that you have. It's a huge number. 16,000, that's statewide.
Yes.
Comes here only on game day or other ways of introducing them to the Olympics. Let's talk about that, because that's a broad spectrum.
Yes.
Right?
So our goal is to train coaches or individuals in the communities in which our athletes live. And so they're actually training there for 8 weeks, and then they would go to a local competition. So we host over 400 events a year. A lot of people think Special Olympics is a one-time-a-year track and field meet.
Yeah.
But we're not. Not anymore. We offer 21 different sports. And so those athletes will compete at home locally. And then they can go to a state competition if they like, which is our major games. We do 4 a year. Typically, it's in the valley because it's easier to get people to come in from across the state locally. And they have the facilities that meet our needs as far as the number that come in. But we probably get 12% of our athlete population that actually comes to our large state games.
Okay. So And you advertise those, obviously, through some kind of channels of people that are tuned in with you, right?
We do. We send it out in our newsletters and through different events, social media, of course.
Yeah. So let's talk about the kinds of events. Tell us about that, the scope of events that you have.
Yeah. So I mentioned we have 21 different sports.
Yeah.
We really follow the school calendar just because summer's so hot, we don't want our athletes at risk. But in the fall, we have swimming, bocce, softball, golf, badminton, soccer, bowling, softball, I think I missed. And then we move into our winter season. We actually have some winter sports up north in Flagstaff. So they're doing alpine skiing, snowboarding, cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. Basketball and cheerleading is probably one of our biggest sports is basketball. but we also do flag football, track and field, powerlifting, volleyball, and we do esports now because of COVID.
Nice. And how's that work?
So our athletes can join. We have a Discord app where they can jump on a game and play together and communicate with their friends from across the state.
High tech.
Yes, very.
At Special Olympics. That's awesome. So what say I'm a parent with a child, mm-hmm. and I want to get them involved. What are the requirements to participate at all in any of the events?
Yeah. So we have a program for our young kiddos ages 2 to 7.5 where they can do a skill development program. Usually we have kiddos and their siblings that come out and participate together just so it's a friendly environment.
Yeah.
And then once that kiddo turns 8, they can now participate in Special Olympics sports and activities. They do have to have a physical to participate, but we get all the paperwork out. And once they get to practice and see what sports they like.
So, and then you get hundreds in different ones. If you're working with 16,000 mm-hmm. per year, probably, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily, not in one time.
No. that would
drive you crazy.
Yes.
so we don't want to see a crazy Jamie. So you need coaches. I mean, how does that happen? I mean, are these coaches that are already athletically involved somewhere with, you know, how do you get your coaches?
Sometimes they are involved in athletics in some way. Others, it's a family member that wants to be more involved in what their brother, sister, cousin is doing. And so they can. We do all the training for the sport, so they don't have to be very knowledgeable. We'll provide that, and then they get them ready for practice. But we definitely need coaches. It's always a shortage that we have to make sure enough people are there to train our athletes properly.
So when I think of athletic, I think of, you know, running. You already named some of them,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm a parent and I'm trying to introduce my child to you and to the program, there has to be you do a lot of testing. You said you do a lot of training and testing. Of the children?
No, we don't test them. Okay. We, as long as a doctor signs off on a medical saying that they're fit to participate,
Good. They're
able to come out. And then coaches, of course, we train the athletes in that sport for 8 weeks. But we have athletes from all walks of life.
So they pick their choice.
Yep.
And you start training for how long?
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Yep.
And that's through the fall and winter season?
Usually that 8 weeks is...
You don't want to go in the heat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can choose multiple sports a year, so they don't just have to choose basketball or just choose track.
Yeah.
The doors are open for whatever they're wanting to participate in.
And I don't think you have your own arena.
I do not.
So do you use... what facilities do you use?
We lose schools quite often. Yeah. They're able to accommodate us. Local rec centers. There's a sports facility out in Avondale called American Sports Center. They give us the facility for free, and they're amazing people out there. So it's
free is
really,
always good.
Yes, free is wonderful. But it's really the generosity of the community that we'll provide for our athletes and make sure they have that opportunity.
So, what's your largest challenge?
I would say one of our largest is just reaching the families in every community. A lot of times we communicate through a parent or through a coach, and we don't have direct interaction with a parent, whether they're at school or a community rec program. And so it's just continuing to reach more and more families that are out there that are looking for something for their child or their sibling, and making sure that we have something for them, program or coaches available to train those athletes.
And you want to make sure they're signing up for the correct one, right? Maybe they say, I want to be a 100 meter dash person. And then you go, there's something else you might like.
Yes.
You must be directive sometimes, right?
Yes.
To help out.
Occasionally we do.
Yeah. So, and the parents... don't get involved as much. I mean, just the coaches are the mainstay, right?
The coaches are our primary
contact.
Families do come out as much as they can.
Yeah.
But typically it's, we rely very heavily on those coaches.
I think so.
Yeah.
So do the coaches, they probably can come from anywhere in Arizona, right?
Yes. Anywhere.
In certain disciplines. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have to sort that out.
It's pretty good. We have what's called delegations in each of these communities, that they have somebody that's a point of contact and then coaches underneath them to support that program. So they're not doing it alone. There's definitely a community of people that are volunteering and giving their time.
Yeah. We still have a chunk of time to go here. So tell us more about if we've missed something just in this interview so far, what else is there that people need to know and understand? For me, I'm not as informed. So I just think once a year there's a great in a great track somewhere in Arizona. There's all of these events, and I don't think that's how it works.
It's not. Almost every weekend we have an event going on, whether it's a local competition, if it's a state event, those athletes are competing in some way. We also have health, which I mentioned earlier, and not a lot of people are aware that we provide free health screenings to our athletes because holistically we want them to be the best athlete they can. So we work in our communities with different, like Mayo Clinic, A.T. Still University, Midwestern University, University of Arizona in Tucson, and we get clinicians that are willing to come out and see our athletes, evaluate them in many different disciplines. We have 8 different that they evaluate, and then make sure our athletes are being screened appropriately, because there's data out there that says for a typical peer of somebody with an intellectual disability, they're seen by a doctor for over 20 minutes.
Wow.
For our athletes, they're only seen for 7.
Okay.
It's a huge disparity. Yes. Knowing that there's a lot of other issues that come along with having an intellectual disability. And so it's fear in some regards of treating somebody that they may not be able to communicate well with, fear of the unknown of what that's going to look like. And maybe there's just apprehension because they've never seen somebody or worked with somebody with an intellectual disability. Yeah. And so we bring these clinicians and students through our partnerships to see our athletes to hopefully break down some of those walls. Mm-hmm. And so they feel more comfortable, and yeah. Also so our athletes feel more comfortable.
Absolutely.
So I don't know about you, but I hate going to the doctor. They do too.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. And so bringing them to our competitions to see our athletes, they're not wearing a white lab coat. It's not a very sterile white environment. It's fun. We bring activities in. The doctors are wearing fun, colorful T-shirts. The students are too.
Nice.
And, you know, nobody wants to go get their feet checked. But when you have some fun people they've made relationships with, and maybe they get a little goody afterwards for coming through, then they find it fun.
So is it more often that one child would see another friend maybe from school or something and say, oh, I feel better because I see Joe over here or Ann over there, right? Does that
definitely?
I would guess that would play a big role.
Yes, and a lot of times
makes the parents more comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a respect level of clinicians that have given their time to our athletes, and they trust them.
Yeah.
And it's the same doctors that come out to almost every event.
So you saw that. There's a large structure, a large building that you were part of making sure it was built, right?
We did build our own facility.
Like $2.4 million worth,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's a lot of fundraising. That's a lot of. So tell us about that facility. What is that?
So it is just, it's an office and distribution center. You mentioned earlier like this grand track or you know something out there that we have.
Yeah,
we don't.
You don't.
Because we recognize that if we build something like that, we're only servicing a very small part of the community. So in this facility, it's an office for our staff. And then out back, we have a warehouse full of equipment that we need for all of our events.
For all the events.
And we have trucks and trailers that are all branded. And so when an event is going to happen, we load that truck or trailer with all the event that they need. And then it is sent out across the state.
Wow.
To make sure athletes are getting the same quality no matter where they're at.
So is it often, if the events you hold throughout the year, is it often to have a lot of people coming to watch and be with their children? And
sometimes I wish we had more of the community that could come out or would understand what's going on and be a part of those events. But we do get a lot of parents that come and support their athletes and really cheer them on. It's a lot of fun.
We're in our last couple of minutes. How can someone contact you if they're interested, if they have a child or whatever, they want to be a coach? How do they do that?
Yes. So we have our website. It's www.specialolympicsarizona.org, or they can call our office. It's 602-230-1200.
Okay, one more time.
Yes. So it's specialolympicsarizona.org, or it's 602-230-1200.
Jamie Heckerman, you president and CEO of Special Olympics Arizona, thank you. You are a rescuer.
Oh, thank you, Art.
God bless you, and thank you so much.
You too.
Rescuers, Thursdays at 5:30 Arizona time on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ AM.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.